Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I hope you brought your Bibles with you. Did you bring your Bibles, like a physical Bible or the phone? Some of you never have to bring it because it's in your heart. Okay, so much of you, you just look down and you see the Word of God. So kudos to all of you. But if you would, indulge me, kindly stand up in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, and then we will be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Verse 13, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Chapter 2, verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are again grateful that you would gather us together to hear your words. And Lord, we ask that for hearts that are ready to receive from you, Lord, we are also asking for hands and feet that are ready to be in obedience to your word. So God, thank you that your Holy Spirit indeed is among us, and that it's been in us to empower us to live in a way that gives glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may now be seated. Okay, a pleasant good morning to everyone. It is indeed great to be back here in Taiwan after such a long time. And always good to see how the Lord is growing our work here. Just want to honor Pastor Bruce and Terry. Okay, so thank you for what you do here in Taiwan, uprooting yourself from one of the city, greatest city in the world, New York. Where if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Okay. So, I think you know the reference when I do that. Start spreading. Anyway, so, but really grateful for all, really obeying the voice of the Lord. If there's anything that I've really learned about Pastor Bruce and Terry, is that they hear the word of the Lord, and by the grace of God, they obey. So there's thank you for doing that, and thank you because you've obeyed the Lord, then the work of the Lord is advancing here in Taipei. Why don't we give the Lord a hand for the life of Pastor Bruce and Terry over here, no? Okay, so Pastor Bruce have been going through a series on Ephesians, all right? And this book of Ephesians is divided in just a very general way. It's divided into three major sections. Chapters 1 to 3 talks about what it means for us to be in Christ. And that's why when I listened to Pastor Bruce preaching, and he talked about how we are to be rooted in Christ. But it's not just enough to be rooted in Christ. We are rooted in Christ for a purpose. Do you know that? So when we were saved, how many of you, when you look at the person next to you, they look saved? So you don't want to even look at them because they might not be. But kidding aside, the first part of Ephesians is about how we are to be rooted in Christ and what He has done for us. And then the last three chapters, from 4 to 6, it's about what we do in response to that. And how we respond to the gospel is a witness to the people around us. And that is how Christ gets revealed through us. And that's why if you look at how Pastor Bruce has been talking about the series in Ephesians, it's being rooted in Christ, but not only that, so that Christ may be revealed through us. How many of you, it is your heart and desire that Christ may be revealed through you? Okay, well, thank you for that underwhelming response. I mean, I was wondering if there was more excitement, but it's okay, you know, I'm new, and like, who's that guy talking? All right, so, but, okay, so, rooted in Christ, revealed through Christ. Today, you might be wondering, why am I talking about Ephesians and reading from Timothy? Well, it is because that in the second missionary journey of Paul, he went back to Ephesus. He passed by Ephesus the first time, went back there, and when he went back, he was with Timothy. And if you don't know this, when Paul was about to die, he wrote a letter to Timothy, handing over Ephesus to him. So it was Paul who planted the church. It was Paul who built the foundation. It was Paul who gave the instruction in his letter to the Ephesians, or to the letter to the, we call them Ephesians? Yeah. Well, to the letter to Ephesus, to the, yeah, they might be Ephesians, like Americans, Taipei, yeah, churches, that's it. The people in Ephesus. Yeah, okay, so let's be safe here, you know. Are you an Ephesians? I don't know. Okay, so the people in Ephesus are the church in Ephesus. So he writes a letter giving them an instruction. And in fact, this letter to the Ephesians or to Ephesus was the blueprint of what a church should look like given what Christ has done and how we respond by revealing through Christ to the world and to one another. And so it's one thing to have a blueprint, though. Pastor Bruce kept repeating the word blueprint in his preaching about how Ephesians is a blueprint. It's an instruction of what the church should look like, how it should respond to the grace of God. Now, it's one thing to have a blueprint, but how many of you know a blueprint is not much use if we don't build what's on the blueprint? Yeah. Have you ever said, wow, look at this blueprint? Yeah. And that's it. Look at the nice lines, you know, perpendicular, parallel. Look at the measurements. But what is the blueprint for? It is so that we can build something from that blueprint, right? And so what Paul does is this. He writes Timothy a letter, two letters, but in 2 Timothy it was his last letter. It is his swan song, they would say. A swan song is supposed to be an idiomatic expression talking about the last few words of someone. It's supposed to be a beautiful, supposed to be the most important things that they want to say to you before they die. So, especially for us, when we're about to die, we would like to, what? Say important things to those who we will leave behind. So, 2 Timothy is like the architect who drew the blueprint saying to Timothy, here are the blueprints. Now it's time for you to build from it. And so, the reason we're going to go through Timothy is because of this. Pastor Bruce has been faithfully preaching from the Word of God, Ephesians. And it is my hope that in the short time that we'll be together, I'll be preaching from 2 Timothy so that hopefully I will help us respond to the preaching of Pastor Bruce. What does it mean for Pastor Bruce to keep preaching about Ephesians, talk about the blueprint of the church? What does it mean for us to hear that, take that in, and respond to it so that we are then all building together. Of course, Christ is indeed the builder of the church, but in His mercy and His grace, He has called each and every one of us to co-labor with Him. Such a privilege. How many of you are glad we get to co-labor with Christ? Wow. Wow. Woohoo! Thank you. I'll just talk to you. I'm just kidding. I'm going to talk to all of you. But in the next few hours, maybe 5 to 6 hours of preaching. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, I'm about to leave. Okay. But that's really how long I take. I'm not kidding. I'm just saying, I am. Pastor Bruce is saying, I'm not going to invite you again. Okay, just kidding. Okay. So, are you ready now to go to 2 Timothy? Let's unpack what Paul had to say to Timothy to help and instruct Timothy and tell him, now that this instruction has been given, it's time for you to carry it on. Not to say that Paul and the others did not build anything. It is to say that as I leave this to you, this is the way you carry it on. And so, let's dive into 2 Timothy. Are you ready? Okay. So, I won't be going through the whole letter of 2 Timothy, but at the beginning of 2 Timothy, he says this. Follow the pattern of sound words. Now, why do you think, you know, as you look at Second Timothy chapter 1, the first part of that is just Paul encouraging him. And then in about verse 8, he talks about how Timothy is to share in the suffering of the gospel. Do you know that part of the gospel is not just, you know, God will bless you, although we want to be blessed, but there is a part of the gospel where suffering comes in. So I will be very careful or very wary about a gospel that does not include suffering. Now, you might be asking, why is suffering needed in the gospel? Can't just God bless us and gives us goodness after goodness because His goodness is running after, it's running after me? Your goodness. Can't we just sing that song again and again? Well, it's because we live in a broken world. And part of God's plan is to use people like us who's broken, but as surrendered our brokenness to Him. And in the midst of that brokenness, when our righteousness in Christ collides with the brokenness of the world, we experience suffering, whether you like it or else. Really? So suffering, as long as we live in this world, whether we like it or else, we will suffer. Because we have, by the grace of God, made a decision, no turning back, to follow Jesus. I have decided, no turning back. And once you do that, you start to live a life of righteousness. And when you start to live a life of righteousness, guess what? The brokenness of the world comes at you. And then they're suffering. And do you know that even within the church, our brokenness, you know, causes offenses and suffering against one another. But you know what Paul says? Share with me in the suffering. When we all live by the gospel, there will be suffering. Is that okay? Or should I just preach prosperity and wealth? And I'm not against it. And I hope you prosper. I hope God gives you, you know, resources. But don't ever think that you or I will ever escape the brokenness of this world. And that's the reality that Paul was telling Timothy. This are all good instructions. These are fantastic blueprints. It will set you up for a great life, a life of righteousness, of goodness, of peace in the Holy Ghost. But remember, we still live in a broken world. Is that okay with us? And God is saying, as God uses us, as Christ is revealed through us, suffering will happen. Are you glad I'm here? I mean, this pastor gets invited here and preaches suffering. What is God talking about? Get him out of here. Carry him out. Okay, so, no. Let me finish, and then you can carry him out after. So he talks about this. Follow the pattern of sound words. So there's a pattern of sound words. And there's also a good deposit. And we're told to follow and to guard. So what he's telling Timothy, everything you've heard from me, those are patterns of sound words. Blueprints is a pattern. So when Pastor Bruce was talking about Ephesians as the blueprint of the church, it's a pattern. It's a pattern of sound teaching, of sound words. And these are good deposits. So everything Pastor Bruce have been saying from the week we started in Ephesians, and even the other preaching, those are good deposits. Sad to say we forgot about it. How many of you still remember the preaching last week? Oh, what was that about? Right? And that's why we take notes, because we forget. And then we come back again, and we ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of all truth. But it is my prayer that we are indeed a people who follow and guard the instructions that have been given to us from God's Word, through the preaching of the Word every Sunday, that we don't just come here because it's cool and it's hot outside, air conditioning here, comfortable. Let's just go to church. I hope that when we come to church, we're ready to receive instruction from the Lord. That this is not just us wanting to feel good about ourselves. Although, really, when you do live a righteous life, you will feel good about yourself. But that's not the main thing. But hopefully that God will use you as instruments. And that's why Paul says, you better follow, you better guard. Now, why do we need to guard something? Why did Paul use the word guard when it talks about the blueprint? When it talks about the sound words and the teaching. Why do we need to guard whatever it is that Pastor Bruce has been talking about for the past few weeks? Well, because there's many lies out there. How many of you know that whenever you receive truth here, when you go out of those doors, the world offers a different set of ideas? And if we're not careful, we will start taking in those ideas and bringing them into church. And the Bible says we have to guard. We have to be. And this guard means we must guard it with vigilance. Because you only guard things that are valuable. How many of you know that the Word of God is valuable? And because it's of value, we need to guard it with vigilance. Why? Because there will be attacks against it. You know, one of the biggest things that fractures the church today is that we import ideas from the world and bring it in the church. And then we fight over it, failing to understand all we need to do really is first to guard it. Because by guarding, listen to this, by guarding truth and doctrine, we guard the unity of the church. Why do I say that? Many people talk about unity today. Oh, we must be united. But do you know what unites us? The truth unites us. Yes, it is the truth that we cannot just be united for unity's sake. Oh, we should not be fighting, but why? What is the basis of our unity? It is the good deposits. And the world will come in and lie to us about it. It will give us different ideas. And so that's why when we're not careful, Paul said. And in fact, if you have your Bibles with you and you read, I did not put everything in the slides because it's too much. But do you know that if we don't guard the good deposits well, if you just read verse 15, the verses after verse 14, it says here, you are aware that all of who are in Asia turned away from me. Whoa, look at this. Why am I talking about unity? Because in the very next verse, it says, if you do not guard the truth, you'll walk away. And Paul was saying, there were some people, and I'm telling you to guard this deposit, because there were some people who did not do so, and they're gone. But there's some who did, verse 16 onwards, and they stayed. And they shared in my suffering. Because the world will always offer to you, oh, you don't have to suffer. Everything is good. You know? Don't worry, you know, you have to take care of yourself. Self-care. Really? Self-care? I was telling some of the people yesterday, I was talking to some of their leaders, that self-care, really, if you want a theology of self in the Bible, it's self-denial, not self-care. Be careful to take care of yourself. You're too broken to take care of yourself. You need to go to God and ask Him.
It's a good word.
Self-denial. Deny self. Take up your cross. Oh man, let's not just deny self. Taking up the cross is die to self. Oh no, what kind of theology of self is this? I don't want this church anymore because I need self-care. Be careful about self-care. Because, so we don't take care of ourselves, we do. We do take care of ourselves because of our stewardship before God. Because God owns us, we are not our own. We belong to the Lord. And whatever we do with our body, it's not a self thing, it's a stewardship thing. See, that truth alone, pop psychology is entering our church today. And it's destroying us. Sounds good, sounds Christian, but it's not. And that's why we have to guard the good deposits. Because there are many bad deposits coming in. That sounds good, but it's bad. Amen?
It's good.
So, this is my prayer for our church in Taipei. And if God has 15 minutes. What is, look at this. It's 150 minutes. Just kidding. We're friends, okay? We're friends. Okay. I don't think she wants me back anymore. Okay. Don't give them back. I'm just in my first verse. What are we talking about here? Okay. I'm just kidding. Some of you are saying, why did I attend today? This is going to be a long preaching. And it's true. Okay. Not lying to you. And so later on, you're going to be translating so long, you'll be tired too, Darren. Yeah, pray for you. Not me, but pray for you. Okay, all right. Okay, let's move forward. And that's why this is my prayer for our church in Taipei. If God has called you, if you know God has called you here in this church, then I love the fact that I've been invited to preach in Taipei. But there is no preaching, no preacher that you should listen to more than Pastor Bruce, who has been placed here to shepherd your souls. I'm just here to reinforce what he's saying. I'm just here to say that whatever the Lord has placed in Pastor Bruce's heart through him, from his word, we are to guard. We're not to let anything come in. And lies to come in and divide us. We have to guard this truth. Now, if you're not called to Taipei, you're a visitor, welcome. Thank you for coming. And when you go back to your churches, guard the good deposits of your pastors when they have preached to you from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Guard the good deposits. Follow and guard. So that's the first. How do we build from the blueprint? Follow the pattern, guard it. Have you ever seen an architect who did not follow the blueprint? That's terrible. Okay? We want to follow. We also want to guard. And then it goes on to chapter 2. So verses 15 to 16 is just a sample of people who did not guard and people who guarded. People who didn't guard will go away. And that's okay. We can't stop them. But some who have been called by God will guard those truths and follow. And then he goes on to continue to encourage Timothy. And he says this. You then, my child, be... How many of you know we need strength to follow and to guard? Have you seen a guard in the bank and he's thin and weak? You won't and say, can we change him? You don't like that. Because guards need to be
strong.
Look at that. Look at that. Just came from the gym. I feel the strength. That is what I'm talking about. Huh? Not this, you know, look at this. This is an ab. That's abs. Plural? What? Ab. Only one. Singular. No, not this one. That one. Okay? Because I saw you, so hope you come back again. But let me go back to the... No. No way. But there's no turning back. You have decided to... Terry, sing it again now. Sing it again. I just... Okay. Be strengthened by the grace. How are we strengthened? By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know why the grace of God strengthens us? It's because whenever we see the finished work of Christ, whenever we see the mercy of God in our lives, we can't help but to respond to it and say, Lord, I want to live for you. And we're strengthened. And so that's why it's the grace of God that we draw strength from, to guard and to follow. Then he goes on to say this. As people of God, when we get the pattern, we follow, we guard. Next, he says this. What you have heard me from me in the presence of many. So Paul says, what you have heard me from me. So Timothy heard from Paul. He says, entrust to faithful men. Nice words. And then, who would teach others. So, everything you've heard, whenever you listen to a preaching or listen to a teaching, this is our hope, that it not just stays with you. Paul was saying, hey, Timothy, make sure you have faithful men, and these faithful men would teach others also. That's what you call discipleship. One of the things that we are called to do as Christians is not just to sit on the pews or on the chairs on Sunday. We were meant to disciple others. We were meant to pass on everything we have learned. And some people, you know, it's sad that some people would pick and choose what they want to obey in God's word, you know. I like all the patience and the wealth and the prosperity, but not discipleship. No. I just want to go to church and sit there. But you know, we're all called. Even with Paul to Timothy, he says this. Everything you've learned, everything you've heard. How many of you have heard so much the past few weeks and learned so much from Pastor Bruce the past few weeks? So what about all of you here? What's happening to you? Oh, you think I'm not looking at you when you're not answering? You're videoed and you're recorded. And Pastor Bruce will say, not raise hand, raise hand, not raise hand. Okay. He keeps a records of wrong. Just kidding. Love keeps no record of wrong. But, so, do you know that we are supposed to disciple others? We're supposed to pass on. Now, there was one person who came to me and said, Pastor, how do I know 20 minutes. Whoa, it's going up, huh? Okay, the next time is 30, 40. All right, so. Look. Someone asked me one time, Pastor, how do I know if when I'm discipling someone, I'm somehow, you know, done a good job or... Because you don't know. I said, you know, one of the fruits of discipling someone and seeing them grow in God is this. That if you're the Paul... And that's the Timothy. Once you see faithful men from them, and those faithful men are preaching to others, then you know you have taught this person well. You have discipled them well. Because you discipled them not just to receive, but to give. And so how do you know if someone you're discipling is really growing and fruitful? They do not just it's not just a Timothy that you see. You see faithful men. You see others. See, this is four generations of discipleship. Paul, Timothy, faithful, others. This is our prayer, that there will be four generations at least of disciples that is by the grace of God coming out of us. That everything we hear here, every Sunday, every teaching that we encounter, and yes, it blesses us, but how many of you know that if something blesses you, you should want to pass it on? Really, have you ever, you know, watched, I was telling this yesterday, have you ever watched a movie that you so like? You know, and then you're saying, come, this movie is so good. Let's watch together. I'll even pay for you and watch it again. Because have you ever felt that about a Netflix series or a movie? Some of you are saying, no Netflix. Okay. A Chinese drama or what have you. And then you're so excited about it, you can't help but talk to people about it. My question today for all of us is, when we think about the gospel, when we think about God's word, when we think about everything that we have received, is there an excitement for us to pass it along? Or are we just saying, this is just for me? And in fact, can I just say this to you? Many of the good things that you will discover about what was taught to you can only be obtained when you start teaching it to others. Listen. Some of you are saying, no, I need to master this first before I teach it to others. No. That's not true. If you're a teacher, if you have ventured to teach anyone, you know you don't need mastery to be able to teach. All you need is willingness and passion. And because you're teaching someone, you'll be surprised how much you would know that you did not know before about a subject matter just because you took the step of faith and said, I'm going to teach this to someone else. That's the word of God. And so even as we continue in the series of Ephesians, may we be like Timothy. May we be like Timothy, who says, okay, Paul, right, I'm going. This is not just going to stay with me, Paul. It's going to stay with faithful men. It's going to be passed on to faithful men and to others. So, it's not just important that we guard it. We have to pass it. Yeah. Everything we've learned. If you want to be someone like Timothy, someone who's receiving this teaching, this you've heard from me. What did he hear from Paul? The good deposits. What are the good deposits? The pattern of sound words. Can you see how it backpropagates? So that's the connectment. You know what a connectment is? The connection, you know. That's the connection. And now, as I try to land this plane, now, it's not just enough to guard it. It's not just really enough to pass it on. In fact, the next things I'm going to say gives you the credibility and the ability to pass it on. And so, starting from verse 3, Paul starts to talk about what it means for Timothy to live out everything he has heard. And he uses metaphors. You know, metaphors are powerful. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. See, when someone says, you're beautiful, that's good. But if someone says, if a picture paints 1,000 words, then how can I paint you? The world will never know. It's you I want to know. So that's a metaphor about how beautiful you are, right? And it's, wow. So Paul uses metaphors so that it goes deeper, because metaphors does not only latch onto your cognition, it latches onto your affection. Does not only affect what you think, but it's how you feel. Because metaphors are places where meaning flows out, but meaning is not just through words, but meaning is through feelings as well. And so, he uses three metaphors to teach Timothy how to live out everything he has heard. He said this, everything you've heard me, well, first, share. How many of you love this word? Share in the suffering. As a what? Good soldier. Of who? Of who? Of your company? No? Because all of us, all we think about is money, money, money. In a rich man's world. Or, and that's why we say, it's not about the
money.
It's not about the
money.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. Talk about the bubbling, bubbling. Some of the people are like, what is that? Okay. Let's go back to the, meanwhile, back in the word. Okay. So who are we a good soldier of? Many people, when they go out of that door, they become a good soldier of something else. Church is a compartment. We'll do this every Sunday. And hopefully, because I endured the preaching of that white-haired chinky guy. Is that you or me? I don't know. It's confusing. But, God, you... Sorry, Terry. It's me. It's because I endured this preaching for a long time. You better bless me, Lord. Because you're coming here, we're coming here as a good soldiers of our ambition, of our desires. And he says, if we're ever going to live out everything that's been taught from the Word of God, we are to be like good soldiers. That word good means elite soldiers, like special forces going out into the world. Go, go, go! And they're preaching the gospel. Look at the cross, look at the cross. No turning back, no turning back. This is it. Can you imagine? No, you can't. Okay, so. A good soldier. A big question we must answer today is, why am I not able to live out what I've learned from church? Because church is just a compartment. Jesus is just someone that I have interaction with maybe like 1.5 hours on a Sunday. And that's why on a church, we don't dismiss you. We send you out because church is part of life. You bring whatever you have here and you're sent out into the world as a worshiping and witnessing community. Christ revealed through you. As what? A good soldier of whom?
Christ.
Whose soldier are we of? Because whoever our master is will dictate how we live our lives. How we respond to challenges and suffering. Share, so he tells Paul, you are living in one of the cosmopolitan city of Ephesus, the New York of that day, the Taipei of that day. And there's going to be a lot of things that will distract you, but as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you do not get entangled in civilian affairs. You're in the world, but you're not off the world. And that as an engineer, a doctor, a businessman, you're first a Christian. We are first a soldier of Christ. And we bring Christ wherever we're at. That's the only way we can follow and guard and pass it on. So the big question today is, who are you a soldier of? If you can answer that question, then you'll know why you live the way you do. Why we live the way we do. Whose soldier are you? Because we don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. That while everyone in our offices are pursuing different things, and they're wondering, why aren't you pursuing the things we're pursuing? Because again, it's not about that. Okay, go back. Look, and since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Who do we aim to please? Is it our boss? Is it our teacher? Is it our parents? Now, it's not wrong to honor our parents. But we honor our parents, but we please God. Soldier. Look at the person next to you. Do they look like a soldier? No. They look like they're sorry. Not a soldier, but they're sorry. Next metaphor. When we talk about not just guarding, not just passing it on, but living it. We don't live like anyone else. We don't live like civilians. We live like soldiers with a commanding officer who is Jesus Christ. Next. An athlete. Look at where my eyes is going. An athlete. Huh? Me, only athlete's foot. That's all I can do. Athlete. What about an athlete? An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So if a soldier is to be devoted even in the midst of suffering, an athlete is to be disciplined and not break the rules. To live in integrity. Question is, what rules do you live by? Is this just a Sunday thing? Or does this, do you carry this with you everywhere else? Because that is how we live out what was taught. Do you know what way we don't remember much of what is said every Sunday? Because after it's said, we never go back. You know, I encourage you to read Ephesians again. And again. By the way, and again. Oh, did I say and again? Last time. And again. Read it. You know, when athletes join the Olympics back then, they try to understand the rules. They don't just go out there. It doesn't matter how skillful you are. It doesn't matter how skillful you are in basketball. If you took the shot outside, out of bounds, it doesn't count. Right? Have you ever played basketball? Tried to shoot it from outside the boundaries of the court? Doesn't count. Even if you're Steph Curry. You know? Why? Because we're meant to play by the rules. We are meant to live on God's terms, not on our terms. The problem is us, we live every single day on our terms. And God is someone. We just say, God, you better do this for me. And our prayers sounds like God is not Lord. He sounds like a genie. Lord, what are your wishes for me today? Lord, could you please, could you please? And then when God does not do it, we're like. Now question, who's Lord? You? Or God? Is the Bible a place where your genie is, or is it the place where the master is? Because most of the time, we carry the Bible around like a lamp. Not the lamp that lights our feet and guides our path. It is the lamp of Prince Ali. Prince Ali, Ali of Bavwa, stronger than 10 fabulous men. You know that Prince Ali, fabulous. Okay, anyway. So some of you are ready. So someone walked out already. So someone walked out. He said, I can no longer take this. He's singing songs in Disney. So, we're not just soldiers, we are. Yes. We live in, and some people, they're so angry about rules. Really? Do you want to live in a world with no laws? Let's suspend the law of gravity. I'm going to go to you. It's so hard with, even the physical laws of God are meant to make life stable. The reason we can walk is because there's gravity and the coefficient of friction. And when we are able to resist the impending motion going here, and we're able to move forward. That's what. So friction, gravity, is the reason we can walk. How many of you loves the gravity? Not if you're jumping from a building, and that's why we have the laws of aerodynamics to fly. But by understanding God's law, we're able to fly. We're able to navigate through life. How many of you wants to suspend the law of God? When you go out of Taiwan, you know, Taipei, you're in a restaurant, someone wants your iPad, they can just get it. You cannot do anything. There's no rule. What is stealing? Give me your iPad. You don't want? I'm going to kill you. Yay! And there's no killing because there's no law. Killing is... Who wants to live in a society without law? Tell me. Oh. How many of you are glad that much of the law in the world is Judeo-Christian in its foundations? How many of you love the law of God? And as an athlete, we live by those rules. And we flourish because of those rules. Amen?
Amen.
Soldier, an athlete. It is the hard-working what?
Farmer.
A hard-working? In the day and age where everything is easy, where we are in a microwave society, in an AI generative society, where we could just find the answers literally in our fingertips. Everything is so easy. Bible says, if we're going to live in a broken world, there's going to be hard work. It requires diligence, not always the easy way out. And do you know that knowing God's word, understanding God's word, and living it out in a broken world is hard work, and it requires diligence? Many of us think if we just casually read the word, we'll understand it. No. Want to know if we want to go deeper, stronger, and want to grow? Diligent farmer. Slowly. And do you know that the farmer works diligently, consistently every day? Just like when he plants the word, he sows the seed, you know? It is my prayer that here in Taipei, we go out there as diligent farmers, sowing the seed of the words in the lives of others. And you know, when you sow the seed, you don't normally see it sprouts. Many people want to plant the seed and tomorrow it's there. No, when you plant seeds, and some people tell me, you know, Pastor, I've been in my office a long time and there's no one coming to the Lord. Have you ever planted a seed? And if you planted a seed, have you waited? Because most farmers needs to wait. And when the season is right, you're able to harvest. You know, one day, this room, in fact, right now, it's already too small for us. God's going to grow us. But it takes each one of us planting a seed somewhere and letting it grow. Diligently planting a seed. Many people won't share because they're afraid of rejection. They say, I don't know if the person is ready. Someone told me, Pastor, how do I know someone is ready for the gospel? I told them, do this. Go to them, share the gospel. If they say no, they're not ready. They say yes, they're ready. Do you want to know? You never know if they're ready because you never ask. But even if they say no, imagine planting the seed like a farmer. And one day, you may not even be the one to harvest, but someone else will. Because the bottom line is they get harvested into the kingdom of God. Not just into... I love Ian Taipei. I love my spiritual family. But we have the body of Christ out there in Taiwan. So we plant everywhere we can. And whoever harvests, praise God anyway. But we are not going to recluse from our responsibility of planting the seed as a diligent farmer. And you know, I love the fact that every metaphor has a reward. A share of the crops, a crown. But the soldier doesn't seem to have a reward. But if you read closely, there is. The reward is this, the pleasure of the commander. That's why I love the soldier so much. Because you're not just after a crown. You're not just after a share of the crop. You're after the pleasure of God. It is my prayer, Lian Taipei, that God will give us all grace as we hear God's word to live this way for Him. As a farmer, as a athlete, and as a soldier. Because again, it's not just enough that we what? That we guard it. It's not just enough that we pass it. It's all of those three. We guard it. Actually, we live it, then we pass it on. Or we guard it. We pass it on. We may not have figured out everything, but we pass it on as we're living it out. That's discipleship. How many of you, when you're seeking to help someone, you don't have it all figured out? But by going alongside someone, your conversations help you figure it out as well. It is so... So for many people who are not growing, if you're not growing in your faith, let me just tell you something. One of the reasons many people, many Christians are not growing in their faith is because they are not taking the step of faith to obey the Great Commission of making disciples. It is my prayer that Ian Taipei would do that. Everything we've learned, we pass it on. And then, as we land this plane, this is what Paul says. Think over what I say. You know, every Sunday that you come here to hear preaching, every time you open God's Word, every time you hear a teaching, you don't always get all the answers you want. In fact, some of you, while I'm preaching, you have questions, right? But you know what Paul says to Timothy? I know that's what's going to happen to you. Because many things I'm teaching you are deep truths. So what does he say? Think over what I say. Think it over. For the Lord. See, we think, but it is the Lord who gives the understanding. It keeps us humble. That when we figure things out, we're not, oh, look at me. I figured, I'm so smart. No. When you think it over, when you look at God's word and think it over, know for sure that the reason you had the foundation to think it over is because you had the word. And it also says it's the Lord who will give you understanding. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent, is to guide you into all truth. And the Lord will give you understanding in what? Not just something, but in everything. In everything you need in life and godliness. So it is my prayer that as we go through, you know, we're not yet finished with Ephesians. We're about to, but we're not yet finished. And as we go through the series, and even after, we will have the attitude and we will hold on, we will think over what is said here. And that in every step of the way, the Lord will give us understanding. Let us be a people who would respond the way Paul wanted Timothy to respond. Guard it, live it, pass it on for the pleasure of no one else than Jesus Christ. Our Lord, our Master, our Commander. Amen? Amen? Let me just pray for all of us. Lord, we're just again grateful for this time that you've given us, Lord, to just listen to your word. And Lord, thank you that every single time there's teaching, there's preaching, Lord, you have equipped us on how to respond. And so, Lord, it is my prayer for each and every person who's heard your word today. I ask, Lord, that you would indeed grant all of us grace to think it over. And Lord, you send your word that you will make us understand so that we may be able to live this out for your honor and for your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.